We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
The preacher and the teacher. Mustard and Johnson. It's Mustard and Johnson on the WEEI Sports Radio Network. Talk all things Sox, Pats, B's and C's right now with Mustard and Johnson on the WEEI Sports Radio Network at WEEI.com.
He fires. Swinging a fly ball left field. Benintendi moving back. Back toward the wall. He reaches up. He makes the catch. And the Red Sox have won the American League pennant for the 14th time in their history.
Ah, Joe, he has had a lot of memorable calls. Of course, the big one.
I wish you were a little more emotional.
I know. Joe, just, you know, it doesn't seem like if you tuned in, you wouldn't know what was going on in the game from Joe's voice because he's always such a flatliner when it comes to these. And it's so funny because every time I see Joe, Joe and I are sort of the inverses of each other. Joe was brought up a Yankee fan, became a big Red Sox fan when he was hired here in the 1980s, and I'm reverse. I was a Red Sox fan, became a Yankee fan later on. But both Connecticut boys, and love Joe. Such a great job. And talk about an announcer who stepped in you-know-what in the 21st century with all these big games, the three World Series. Mm. Looks like he's headed for a fourth. And he belongs in the Hall of Fame, and that was one of the reasons why. You just heard it. 617-779-7937 to reset a bit. We've been talking about, obviously, looking back to, shockingly, the five-game win over the Astros. I thought it'd go seven. I didn't know who would emerge. I thought it was going to come down to Sunday night, tomorrow night, in some epic showdown. Who would have ever thought the Red Sox would win three games in Houston after winning the two games in New York, 5-0 in the postseason. David Price finally coming through, and now it seems we have this air of inevitability. I know you don't want to jinx it, Larry. I know you don't want to count your chickens and everything else, but you still haven't given me any scenario where one of those teams from the National League wins this thing.
What do you mean? They win the whole thing,
yeah.
The whole series?
Yeah, I know that one of the teams is going to win tonight. I would expect someone's going to win tonight. But how are they going to beat this juggernaut known as the Boston Red Sox?
Well, it's like anything. You can go into a slump.
Does this team have showing any signs
they don't.
That they're going to go into a slump?
Certain players emerge and, you know.
Yeah, you're making my point. You can't make a case. You're stumbling and bumbling.
The Dodgers still have Kershaw. They have Hill. They have Jansen. They've got 38 saves. I mean, they've got some players.
Puig is interesting. Turner, obviously, a guy that can put it out of the park. I like Bellinger in center field. I mean, there's some players on that team. I would much, again, you know that Fox is, you know, the number two market, top 10 market in Boston, two of the more story, you know.
Oh, I know what I would want. I'd rather have the Dodgers and Red Sox. Are you kidding me?
Right. Now, you think about it. There are two of the top three franchises in the history of the game, the other being the Yankees. So, I mean, you know, as difficult as it is for people who are not interested in, you know, the fan base, for people who are neutral observers to watch these, I'd like to believe a Dodgers-Red Sox series would be something that could captivate more than just the two.
Well, that's
families.
The thing. I don't want the easy way. I want a competitive series.
You do?
Yes, of course.
Okay,
I do.
You would rather. You'd rather see the Dodgers win because I think the Dodgers would give them a better game.
That's why I want the Dodgers to win. I want a more competitive series. Okay. I want the Red Sox to win it in five or six, but I want a competitive series.
Well, my guess is
you take your usual route and just.
I want drama.
Yeah.
I want action.
Yeah.
Okay, I want some suspense.
So who do you want then?
I want to see the Dodgers and the Red Sox play. They've never done it, not since 1916 anyway. Okay?
Not that long ago.
It wasn't long for you. You were there. You remember that. Babe Ruth was a pitcher. Okay? Casey Stengel was an outfielder for the Dodgers.
I wonder if Frank from Gloucester was there.
Frank from Gloucester is there. Unfortunately, he will not be attending this year's potential Dodger-Red Sox series.
Yeah, I miss Frank.
But it will be that would be the World Series that I would prefer and I still think the Red Sox should be heavily favored. Somehow or another, let's face it, there's not a whole lot of juice involved in the Milwaukee Brewers versus the Red Sox. Does that excite anybody?
No, it really doesn't.
No. I mean, if it were the Milwaukee Braves, and it was the old, you know, Braves franchise coming from Boston, that might be something.
Was it Bud Selig the owner there?
He was.
Yeah.
Before he became commissioner.
Him and his daughter.
Yeah. And they've done a nice job. But, you know, let's face it. If you had to pick, you know, one of the more anonymous teams in all of Major League, they're one of the most anonymous teams. I mean, who knows anything about Milwaukee?
Yeah, you'll never hear the word Duende. Trust me.
Exactly.
Not out there.
Exactly. No. So that question, I think, I don't know how Red Sox fans feel. I think that really doesn't matter. Usually, you know, the players always say that. And Cora tried to kind of split the difference between the two. He was brought up in the Dodger organization and everything else. But this team is just too stacked, too talented. Everything seems to be smiling upon the Boston Red Sox. And I just can't see if you go undefeated on the road against two very difficult teams to beat at Yankee Stadium and then at Minute Maid, how you're going to suddenly fall apart against one of these two teams.
But don't forget, it's not like you have a pitching machine on the mound. These are human beings. They can either be very,
very fallible.
They can be very, very good, or they can fall right on their face.
Right.
Hey, the other thing quickly that we haven't touched upon, you can jump in on it also, is the Patriots are playing a game Sunday against the Chicago Bears, going up against Trubisky and
Trubisky?
Yeah, Trubisky and the linebacker.
Khalil Mack.
I was getting to that. Yeah. And he's got the bum ankle. But still, anytime the Patriots are playing, it's a highlight
for
Sunday.
Does it seem as though, again, you know, the Patriots are a very good team, but things do break for them? Like playing Kansas City, now the schedule was made, you know, years ago. It's based on what you did last year. But playing Kansas City at home makes all the difference in the world and could obviously impact.
I would not want to play them in our head.
And that has tremendous repercussions for what happens in the postseason, you know, where the AFC Championship game is and everything else. Now you're going on the road against a team that you've pretty much manhandled in every 4 years when you play them, the Chicago Bears. The one shot the Bears you think would have, having the home field and having a guy that can get to the quarterback, and Khalil Mack, he's compromised.
Well, they got Akeem Hicks, they got Trevathan, Rokon Smith, the linebacker. They've got a decent defense.
Right.
I was shocked they lost last week to Miami.
I was watching that game. They had every opportunity to do it. They missed the field goal, and the kid that missed an easy field goal earlier for Miami redeemed himself at the end of that game.
Belichick seems to have all the wheels lined up right, though. They are playing better.
Right.
And
but it comes down to this, and if you look at the history in the Tom Brady era, that's why that game last week was so critical to win. Because, you know, we talked about it a couple hours ago. We talked about it last week. If they lost, they'd been essentially four games out.
Yeah, that's
then they wouldn't have been able to come back from that, and they would probably have to play Kansas City on the road. Now you're one game behind. And that makes all the difference in the world because in the Tom Brady era, early in the Tom Brady era, two Pittsburgh games back in, 02 and 04, you had to go on the road and get to the Super Bowl against Pittsburgh twice, 02 and 04. Other than that, since then, if they have an AFC championship at home, they win it. If they have it on the road, they lose it. So you want to be at home. You want to be at Gillette in January.
The other problem with this team is, let's face it, they're not good enough defensively that they can have a lot of turnovers.
No.
You just can't.
No.
They can't do it. As great as Brady is, you can't.
No. And to give up 40 points at home, I know some of those were turnover-based, does not bode well. And you wonder, what I think you have to do from a Patriot perspective is to prove that you can do it on the road. They haven't really done that this year. They haven't done it. Period. They haven't done it. They've lost two games on the road.
That Detroit game was awful.
Yeah, you lose to Detroit. I mean, and based on what I've seen from Jacksonville since then,
yeah.
Jacksonville is 3-3.
Well, Bortles is just...
Every time I turn around, Jacksonville's playing terribly.
Yeah.
I mean, they played the game of their lives against the Patriots. I know it was early. I know the track record. We've seen it time and time again with the Pats. They are slow out of the gate. They get their acts together, usually in October and November. Maybe that's the case again. But I think you need to see an impressive performance outside of Gillette Stadium from this team, maybe beginning tomorrow at 1 o'clock. 617-779-7937. It is George in Warwick who's next on Sports Radio.
Hey, George.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Hey, George, what's up?
Hey, I wanted to talk something about the Red Sox, on the, especially the last game, and see if you were aware of something. I don't know, because I haven't heard you talk about it yet. And that last game, I don't know if you're aware of it, our four top guys were 0 for 20, I don't know. None of them got a hit. Mookie Betts, Benny, Bogarts, and Pierce. I think they're all 0 for this. Mm-hmm. And they won it like going away. But was you aware that we had 17 straight hits with two outs? I mean, two strikes on the batter?
I did not realize that, but that's the essence of what the Red Sox are doing this year. You know, they work the count.
Record, guys.
Yeah, that's amazing. And, you know, on the other side of the ledger, I was listening to OMF yesterday. I think it was one of the boys pointed it out. Only one time did David Price go to a third ball. That was in the first inning. He did not have a three-ball count other than once early in the game.
I don't think he walked anybody, did he?
He did not, no.
No. The other thing is, you know how many runs we scored with those two outs and those hits? It was unbelievable. I forget how many. I don't know if you guys are aware of it. How many runs we scored.
We will look it up.
Well, I told you the timing is...
Yeah, but you know how during the year, how many guys we left on base sometimes we couldn't get a run in?
Yeah, that happens over the course of 162. But, George, it always comes down to this, and I appreciate the call. Thank you. We all know it's all timely hitting. I mean, JBJ is not a great hitter. He was a timely hitter in this series. Rafael Devers, three-run blast against Verlander. That's a timely hit.
Well, the Yankees had a chance to win their series, but
couldn't do it.
People they left on base.
Couldn't do it. You think, particularly in that first game, the 5-4 Red Sox win. Two innings, bases loaded, and we all know what happened. I mean, they got one run in two consecutive innings where they had the bases loaded. It's all RISP. It's the key to everything. When the Yankees were a dynasty in the late 90s, they were the epitome of the team that hit in the clutch. That's how you do it. It's not beating somebody down.
They had Bernie, they had Jeter, they got all these.
Right, and they weren't home run hitters.
No.
But they were just timely hitters. And the Red Sox have a combination of both. I mean, they're hitting the long ball, and they're hitting with two strikes and runners in scoring position, taking advantage of every opportunity.
Look at Jackie Bradley Jr. Are you kidding me? To come up with that kind of a hit when he did?
Right, and then doing it again. Who would have ever thought he'd be the MVP of the ALCS?
I mean, I know you don't like him, but I thought he had a phenomenal series.
And you know what? I wouldn't dare take him out of the outfield in the National League Park for three straight games if it comes down to that.
No,
because that would totally kill the Red Sox mojo. Danny from Quincy, you're next on Sports Radio WEEI.
Danielson.
Most important offensive statistic in baseball. Runners in scoring, batting average with runners in scoring position, and batting average with runners in scoring position, and two outs.
It's everything.
That's all that matters.
Yep.
Straight batting. If you go back to 2013, the team was the same way. They hit in the clutch. So that's all that matters.
Yeah, the batting averages weren't that high, but when they needed the hit, they got a guy on base, they came through.
And that kind of confidence feeds on itself, and I just can't see the Red Sox squandering opportunities in the World Series because it's not going to happen. They're just going to take advantage of everything they can possibly do, and they're going to roll over whoever they play in the National League.
You got to be careful, Craig, with the two NW words, no way words. I learned a long time ago you never, ever say no way in sports.
Okay.
Ever.
All right, but it's a little bit harder for you and Larry because you have a little bit more skin in the game, as they say. From a neutral perspective, if you could be objective, and you can't, Danny.
Well, that is being objective. You there's never any way. I didn't feel for 1 minute. I thought if the Red Sox had lost with the Price game, that Houston had an excellent chance of coming back and winning that series.
Oh, they're going to come into Fenway Park and win two games.
Why not? They were the world champions.
They were the world champions
with that lineup. You give them a second life, you never give a great team a second chance.
I do think this. I think the would-haves, could-haves, should-haves would have been after the Benintendi catch. If he doesn't make it, if he traps it or it goes behind him, maybe the Astros win that game. That's where the series might have turned. I think once they had the 3-1 lead, I think it was over.
Any team with Altuve and Bregman on the team, you never give a second chance. Altuve scares the daylights out of me every time he came to the – into the plate, and by the way, on the football thing, Craig, everything worked out for the Patriots. We got the tiebreaker on Jacksonville despite the head-to-head now. We got Kansas City. We got the head-to-head with them. We're still a game behind. And then Cincinnati got beat by Pittsburgh. And Cincinnati, man, they were 4-1.
Oh, forget it. It didn't matter.
But the seeding, there you go again.
No, I'll tell you this. Danny, I'll tell you what. I watched that game. I don't have red zone. Right. I watched that game. Listen, Danny, for a second.
Yep.
If I'm a Patriot fan, I wanted the Bengals to win. I'd much rather collide with the Bengals in any postseason scenario than Pittsburgh. I know
it's
that
all about the conference seeding, Craig. Yeah, and that's, you know, from a strict number standpoint, you wanted Cincinnati to go to 4-2. Now we got the tiebreaker. I think we have the tiebreaker on them, but I don't know. We don't have a head-to-head. But anyways, to go back to Cora's decision to bring Kimbrel in for 6 outs, right?
Uh-huh.
Now, I had to sterilize my remote 3 times because I puked all over it 3 times, okay?
But not a pretty graphic there.
The thing is, when you look at it, he was making decisions based on how, because he had no choice, because he had to have one eye on game 5. Because Bryce, if you look at Bryce, was warming up. Every time Kimbrel got in trouble, Bryce was warming up.
Right.
Every time he looked like he was going to get an out or a strike, Bryce sat down. He was making decisions back and forth based on how Kimbrel was doing.
Right.
He had no choice because Sale was uncertain. You didn't even know what Sale's circumstances were.
So this is the perfect example. I usually say managers don't amount to a hill of beans, maybe 5 games during the year. This is where Cora's expertise, surprisingly enough, as a rookie, has really come into play.
Right.
I mean, everything he's done, it's worked out.
And then I heard criticism as to why didn't you keep Barnes in longer? He had to save Barnes and Eovaldi and Price for game 5 in the event. Because Cora knows, because he was with the Astros, and this goes to my point earlier in the call, that he had to put the foot and the kill shot on Houston, just like he did with the Yankees when he brought Sale in to put them away.
Yep.
Because you can never give a good team, because I believe if the Yankees got it, to game 5. I mean, you never know.
I mean, all bets are off, as they say, in those deciding games. Obviously, the Astros would have been, you know, scary coming into Fenway for a game 6 or 7. But let's face it, the series was won in the bottom of the ninth inning in game 4 when Benintendi made that catch.
I understand that, Craig. But to blow Houston off, like they couldn't come back from.
They did nothing. They went out quietly, Danny.
They weren't as effective, Danny, as people said they would be before the series started.
Larry, let me ask you something. Every time Houston came to bat, how did you feel? Were you squirming?
Depends who was on the mound for us.
I just want to know, were you squirming with that lineup?
No,
every time,
right?
You were squirming.
All right. What happened? It seems to me, Danny, once they lost game 4, and that was, you know, that was just a backbreaker for them. It's almost like they mailed it in.
Well, I don't believe that at all. I don't believe any team that's the defending world champions, as good as they are, would ever mail it in. And by the way, the pitch, you know, working the count, that was not what was going on in the Verlander game. Verlander was getting 3 outs on 6 pitches. The Sox were swinging at everything early. I just barely sat down in my seat. There was already 2 outs in the inning. And then Price's pitch count was going up early in the game, and then all of a sudden it flipped.
Right.
Verlander,
yep.
then they were working the count later in the game. As Verlander's tenure went on in the game, they started to work the count a little bit more, and he got tired. And then Price's pitch count, he was becoming more efficient. So it did flip.
Yeah, amazing.
So I don't want to hear that they worked the count the whole game.
No, but a lot of people obviously were very surprised that scenario unfolded, because before that game, and you would have to admit, even though the Red Sox were up 3-1, if you had to pick a team to win that game, Verlander versus Price, you know, my money would go with Verlander.
But Verlander gave up 6 runs in 2 games.
And the other thing too is Martinez. I mean, I've never felt this way as I do with this lineup, is that I can't wait for him to come to the. When is Martinez up?
What are you going to do when you face the National League and you got to sit somebody down?
Larry, the guy is a force in the lineup. He is a force in the lineup. He's the guy that has to rake for the Sox, because he didn't really rake in that series. He was he was walking. They weren't pitching to him. He was getting singles, and then he raked that home run.
Hey, Danny,
1-0 lead. That guy, to me, he gives me more comfort when I see him coming up to the plate.
Yes.
And there, especially when there are people on in front of him.
Hey, Danny.
I have more comfort when he's up there. He just calms me right down.
Danny, what's the difference between last year and the year before and this year? J.D. Martinez, yeah. It's all the difference in the world. And appreciate the call. Larry wants to hold on to his little binky.
No, I didn't say that.
JBJ, you can't take him out of the lineup.
No, I said it's a difficult dilemma.
Right.
But that you got to have Martinez in there. I know that.
All right, so... Are you going to take the easy way out by putting Mookie at second? You don't want to do that. You don't want to risk any kind of injury in a double play scenario. I think you just got to put JBJ on the bench, and with all the double switches and everything else, believe me.
Well, you don't like Bradley anyway, and everybody knows why, so.
What are you talking about? 6 months, 7.
But he knows why.
I have no idea why. I don't like juniors. I don't get it. 617-779-7937. I'm glad you know why.
I'll go into detail during the break.
Oh, why don't you?
Yeah.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. Yeah. Larry's going to explain to me why I don't like him.
Let me put it this way. Bradley is near.
Oh, the sheriff is near is what you're saying. Okay. Thank you.
No, I know. I just, my heart is speaking, but.
No, and you
logically,
love him. Yep.
Logically, right. you got to have Martinez in the lineup.
Right. And to have, you know, if he continues his hot streak, to have a guy like that off the bench, particularly in the National League, where pinch hitting and double switching are so paramount, it's a nice little problem to have. All right, we're going to take a break, come back with more. Mark James heading your way at 12 noon.
Mark James has been here since 9.
He
said somebody gave him the wrong time.
That's a shock that someone would have a scheduling problem. There'd be a snafu on the communication front. At WEI, because we are in the communication business after all.
Free managerial kind of guys, you know, like they knew, I kind of knew that they both would be managers at one time, just sitting on the bench talking to them.
That is Tim Wakefield on Nesson talking about the potential two skippers for the World Series, a couple utility players for the Red Sox. Obviously, Alex Cora played on the 07 team. Dave Roberts, I believe, had a little bit of a role in 2004 on the way to a World Series. As a matter of fact, October 17th was the night. And when the Dodgers finally won that game at 2:20 in the morning on Tuesday morning, it was the 17th. Tuesday night, Wednesday morning. It was the 17th, and it was the 14th anniversary of the steal against Mariano Rivera that set it all up in the ninth inning. Red Sox would go on to win game number 4 in extras. They'd win another game in extras and then beat the Yankees twice to win the 2004 ALCS. Dave Roberts, a legend in Red Sox lore. And that'd be the other thing. You got the Roberts factor, you know, young manager, basically. I went to the World Series last year. Two ancient franchises, never played, at least in this 21st century, since 1916. It's been a long, long time, 102 years since they last clashed. That's got to be it. Although you got to think Milwaukee's probably got the edge tonight playing at home in Game 7.
Mm.
Wouldn't you think?
Well, normally, yeah.
Why don't you ponder that for a second?
Yeah. You're so absolute about this stuff. And
it's
I don't know how you can
Larry,
be.
It's talk radio. That's what we're supposed
is
to
it?
Do.
Is it? I didn't know it was that way. Why should you think you'd be tired of being...
Hot takes. I don't care if I'm wrong. Why do you sit on the
fence? We know
that. What are you, from the Glenn Ordway School of Broadcasting?
We know you don't
Let
mind
me
being
sit
wrong.
On the fence.
We've been listening to you for years.
That's not what I said.
Yeah, that's not what I said.
617-779-7937. Joe in New Bedford is next on Sports Radio. Hello.
Good morning, fellas.
Hey, Joe. How you doing?
I'm all right. And yourself?
Good.
Thank you.
Congratulations to the Red Sox, Cora. Everybody, great showing. Personally, me, I think everybody's underestimating the Dodgers. I mean, they scored more runs throughout the season than the Astros did, and it hasn't really been spoken about. But my question or my topic is actually about the Patriots. I called you after the first week and mentioned that the Bears, I'm sure you remember, the only Bears question you've ever had. I mean, outside of a 1-point loss to the Packers and a 3-point loss to the Dolphins, these Bears would be undefeated.
Now, are you, Joe, are you a Bears fan? It sounds like you are.
I'm not a Bears fan. Okay. I'm a Patriots fan, but I take interest in one other team in the league pretty much every year.
Yep, and that's the Bears this year?
It is. And I just, I don't want to say I'm worried about this game because I know the Patriots haven't even hit full stride yet, but this Bears team is, someone said it yesterday, they're like a poor man's Kansas City Chiefs
with a much better defense.
Wait a minute. Hold on a second. Good point. Now let's talk about it. Is Trubisky anywhere near the level that Mahomes is now?
I mean, no.
He's very inconsistent.
Yeah.
One game he throws six touchdown passes, and then the next week you can't even find him.
Yeah, they blew the big lead. They blew the big lead at Lambeau against the Packers. They should have won that game, and the defense gave up 21 points in the last quarter and a half or so in that game. I watched that Bears game, most of it last week against Miami. They should have beaten Miami. They had the field goal at the end. That guy missed it. Miami let him off the hook, but they still won.
Right. You're right.
Yep.
They should have won both of those games.
Right.
But the simple fact that they were not only in those games, but leading those games late in the game is scary to me just because of how talented Kansas City is and how much it took for us to beat them. If the defense for the Bears is able to stop us, which I honestly think that they're going to hold us to somewhere in the low 20s for points. And I'm not saying that Mitch Trubisky can go out there and put up 28 points against us, but is it fair to say that Trubisky could maybe put up two touchdowns and Tariq Cohen and Howard do the rest of the damage?
Yeah, I mean, there's some players on this team. This isn't the same old Bears we've seen the Patriots drub time and time again over the last 15, 20 years in the Brady era. It could be a good game. And one of the things, Joe, and I think you make a couple good points, thanks for the call, the Patriots haven't proven themselves on the road yet.
Well, they're playing on the road. It's going to be cold there.
That never matters. Weather is never an issue for the Patriots, and they usually pretty much fold, spindle, and mutilate the Bears every time they play them. I remember one time they played in London. It was like 50. They scored 55 points or something. There was another huge snowstorm in Chicago one year, and they blew them out there too. Weather was never an issue. But I think just this year, based on what you've seen, they've had four home games. They won them all. Had two road games, lost both of them. So you got to believe they're better than the Bears. I don't think Trubisky is Mahomes at this point.
No.
But if it's going to be a game at all, if looking at it from a Chicago perspective, Khalil Mack it's got to be better than questionable with that gimpy ankle.
Well, and again, I kind of keep saying it, Waddle. He scares me to death. Really and truly, he's just not that good. And I think, Brady's going to have to get rid of the ball quick.
Yeah. It will not be the romp offensively that it's been the last three games at home. Let's put it that way. Glenn in Natick is next on Sports Radio.
Hey, Ordway.
Is this Glenn Ordway?
Not what I said.
Everybody's doing Ordway impersonations.
He's on the front of the WEEI.com. So selling houses and siding and some other stuff.
How come nobody ever asks us to sell anything? It's amazing.
I think Fourier and Marloni have the market on the Ordway impersonations these days.
That's what I said.
No, those impersonations have been going on for 25 years at this radio station. they're latecomers to the game, believe me. So what's happening, Glenn?
So, yeah, a couple of things. I was calling about baseball, but you guys made some good points on the football. Greg's point about it's a road game. You know, they need to show they can win on the road. I think that's, important. After listening to that last caller, it came to mind a little bit concerned. Yeah, Trubisky's not Mahomes, but this what's the head coach's name? Nagy.
Yeah,
he's off the Andy Reid tree. And if you know the last few games that we've played someone who worked for Andy Reid, we've allowed a ton of points. So I'm a little concerned from a scheme standpoint.
I tell you, I thought Hightower played the game of his life last week. I really did. I thought he had the interception.
Yeah.
I thought he ran better. They say with the Ordway says it all the time, but the real Patriots team shows up in November.
Yeah, but it's funny you should say that. Yeah, Hightower had the game of his life as the Patriots gave up 40 points.
Well, he can't cover everybody.
Yeah, right. I'm just saying. The best
they
player
really,
in defense the had the game of his life.
They don't. Yeah. The defensive line outside of Flowers, who can you name, really, who's doing anything?
Right. And we all know that eventually, and we started to see it now, this thing is coming together. I think it'll be an interesting test. I think almost any time the Patriots go on the road early, it'll be something we need to watch.
Regarding the baseball, Craig's probably right. Red Sox should be favored against either team.
Right.
But, the Dodgers took the Astros, which we all know is an excellent ball club, certainly last year. to seven games. They get six or seven. They get six or seven guys with 20 or more home runs this year. They got a pretty good rotation. Kershaw, the Japanese guy, Rue, I think his name is, and a guy, a right-hander who throws hard, Buehler.
Yeah, he's pitching tonight in Game 7.
Yeah. So, you know, they're pretty good, and you got to be a little bit concerned going in the National League Park. I'd sit JBJ, obviously. Obviously, you can bring him in later on. The Brewers, you know, again, a decent lineup. I don't think they have as much power, but, you know, their starting pitching's rather, I think, pretty much decimated. When you trot Wade Miley out there, they have a good bullpen, but you got to wonder at some point these teams that rely on their bullpen throughout the playoffs, by the time you get to the World Series, do they get spent? You know?
Well, you know what? But what we were saying, the consensus was, the school of thought going into this playoff was the team with the best bullpen had the best shot of winning. That's been blown out of the water because the Red Sox don't have the best bullpen. We certainly understand that. And Milwaukee, if they do move on to the World Series, and they have a very good shot at doing that, thanks for the call, Glenn, their bullpen is good. And Hader is, you love Hader.
I love him.
Yeah, he hasn't pitched in the last couple of games. You're going to see a lot of him tonight. So, Red Sox fans, you may not be glued to every last pitch tonight. We have it right here on Sports Radio, WEEI, beginning at 8 o'clock. But your best shot to win, to me, the path of least resistance would seem to be through Milwaukee and not L.A. 617-779-7937. Final segment to go. Mustard and Johnson till 12. And then it's the king of all media, Mark James, right here at this very station on Sports Radio, WEEI.
I know you've never had the playoffs. Who are you rooting for to win the World Series this year?
I'm rooting for a draw.
Thank you, sir.
That was Giancarlo Stanton ambushed on the street somewhere.
I like him. He's not a bad guy.
I'm sure he's a very nice gentleman. But we were talking earlier about runners in scoring position is the difference between the teams that have success in the postseason and those that don't. And Giancarlo Stanton's watching the World Series in the comfort of his own living room because he could not come through with runners in scoring position, from it.
And the problem is when you compare him to Judge, which a lot of people do, similar size,
Well, one of the things that Stanton's got to learn, he's no longer playing in Miami. We're not in Miami anymore. Games do matter when you play for the New York Yankees, and we'll see if he redeems himself next year. But you were saying something earlier, and you're right. I mean, the Yankees were humiliated, particularly in that 16-1 game. They had a shot to come back and win the following night on Wednesday in the elimination game. But make no mistake about it, they're not going away. The Astros are not going away. The Red Sox have had their moment in the sun, but it's not as if they're going to go. And they have a great core. There's no question about that either. But those three teams are going to be fighting tooth and nail for the next 5 or 6 years. It's too much talent, too many young players.
It's going to be interesting to see how the free agency market opens up and which teams are going to go after which people.
Yeah, but I think basically
A lot of money out there for people that want to saddle themselves with that type of contract.
And speaking of that, we're projecting beyond tonight's Game 7 and thinking about who the Red Sox would face in that World Series, if the Dodgers win, then you'd have the number one payroll team, Red Sox, versus the number two payroll team, the Dodgers. If the Brewers win, it would be 1 versus 22. As you might imagine, the Brewers are not one of the big spenders. They're the ultimate small to medium market team. So that would be an interesting David versus Goliath scenario. But no longer can Red Sox fans say, well, the Yankees bought themselves a World Series because the Red Sox are spending more than anybody in baseball, and it's paid off. The good thing is, hey, if you're going to spend the money, let's make sure you do it wisely.
That's not the point, though. Right. The point with them is they got to pay off some of that dead money, get rid of Sandoval's money and all that stuff. They got to pay that crap off. That's ridiculous.
Right, and Hanley's money, but, you know, it certainly has worked. I give them credit. They realized the panda was not going to work. They realized that Hanley was most likely toxic. He was not coming. You know, there had to be something more than to the fact that he wasn't holding his own in the middle of the lineup. There were other things going on, and, you know, they have done nothing but soared ever since then. All right, 617-779-7937. We're here for another 5 minutes or so. Mark James coming in, doing the solo thing. No Dickerson. Where has Dickerson been anyway? Any news on Dickerson? I thought Dickerson was supposed to be doing this.
Mainstay.
Yeah, I thought he was a mainstay. He was a stalwart. He was going to be a weekend warrior. It was he and James, Dickerson and James forever. The new dynamic duo on sports radio. And, you know, I'm disappointed to find out Dickerson, no show. We'll see if we can track him down. Meanwhile, let's go back to the phones and say hello to Paul in Norwood, who's next on sports
Paul,
radio.
How are you?
I'm good, guys. Just real quick on Danny, I wish you guys would have came back a little stronger. I mean, what does he want? The Sox won 3 in Houston. What other defending champ couldn't win a game at home? I mean, he had it's almost like, you know, he mirrors what goes on in our government. Someone makes a great decision and things work out, but you got someone who just wants to find fault with it. I just don't get that. I mean, they made the plays. The Red Sox.
No, wait a minute. Let's go back. Rewind for a second, Paul. What did Danny say that detracted from the Red Sox victory over the Astros?
No, he didn't come right out and say it, but he almost made it like, you know, they're the defending champs. They're scary. They're this. They were beat soundly. They were beat at home 3 games in a row. Every play, you can talk about Benintendi's catch, what might not have happened. The fact is he reacted quick, broke on the ball, and made the catch.
He made the play.
He's a talented player. So, you know, I just think he was too much saying, look, if this happened, they were in trouble. How about just say no? Everything that had to happen successfully was because they executed. They got a great coach, great players. And now let's go get whoever wins this game.
No, I agree. And listen,
that was my take.
No, and, you make a good point. But I think, you know, as you're watching the series, you don't know how it's going to work out. And you can't tell me, Paul, that when Bregman's up with the bases loaded and 2 outs in the bottom of the ninth inning, and Wentz, I don't know if you were watching that game at 125.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, okay. I stayed up for every inning.
All right. Right. You can't tell me that the Reds, but Paul, this is Danny's point. I can't believe I'm defending Danny from Quincy. But the point is, at that moment, you didn't know the Red Sox had control of that series.
Right. But how many times did he was promote the fact that the defendant chance be scared of them? How many times you see Devers come up to the plate against Verlander? He didn't even drive the ball opposite field. He just swung at a pitch, but has unbelievable, uncanny power. They were fearing us just as much, and A.J. Hinch was kind of living on last year, and you talked about his press conferences. You know, every year changes. I mean, I think they respected the Red Sox, knew they had a resilient offense, but they still thought we're going to get by this. And I think in my shoes, I said, you better fear the Red Sox. They won 108 games, and it wasn't a fluke, and stop thinking about the Mariners choking after 116. But the last point I wanted to make is there's a big dynamic here. When Cabrera came and replaced Garcia Parra, that team's chemistry changed.
Right, 04, yep.
I think if Pedroia was healthy this year, it would have not allowed some of the younger players and some of the unique players to have that comfortability of being themselves. Because Pedroia's a great player, but as a leader, he held people back. And I think that's overlooked, that he didn't have that strong voice on the team. And I don't care what they say, well, he's a mentor and he's not playing. Yeah, he stuck around in the dugout, but he wasn't the de facto player slash leader. And that helped a bunch of guys on this team. It's just a nuance that I relate back to Cabrera replacing Garcia.
No, I think you make a very good point.
Whatever they got now, it's working.
No, you made a very good point, and the chemistry is perfect on this team. It certainly happened in 04. It's happening again in 2018. And like 04, when they just ran through the Cardinals 4 straight, I can see 5 games against Milwaukee, maybe 6 against the Dodgers. Next time we meet, they'll have played 3 games in the World Series.
Patriots should win Sunday.
They should win, but they have to prove they can win on the road. Thanks to John on the other side of the glass, pinch hitting for
John.
Eamon. The king of all media, the man, the myth, the legend. It is Mark James World. We just live in it. He'll be here at 12 noon. Have a good weekend, everybody. See you next time.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.